Welcome to the Sunday Worship Service of New York Church on July 12th, 2020, Lord's Day. Holy Spirit calls us to worship by the words from Exodus chapter 15, verse 2. The Lord is my strength, my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I'll praise Him. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, what a wonderful invitation that you spread before us, and that you have called us to be the church, and you have called us to be the body of Christ. Oh Father, open our hearts, open our minds, that as you brings out your word, let this word come to me and incarnate it and flesh out in my obedience, and I can be the truth and light to the world, to me and to my surroundings, that I can continue on your mission on this earth until you call me to your bosom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today is the fourth installment of the trilogy of Red, Memory of Departure. Reading of Holy Scripture is Exodus, selection from Exodus chapter 12, verse 8. The same night, they ought to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with the bitter herbs and bread made with yeast. 11. This is how you ought to eat it. With your cloak tucked into your belt, and your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. 25 through 27. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as He promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, "What does this ceremony mean to you?" then tell them, "It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians." Then the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. 33. The Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country, for otherwise, they said, we will all die. 36. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and they gave them what they asked for, so they plundered the Egyptians. 38. Many other people went up with them, as well as large droves of livestock, both flocks and herds. 39. When the dough they had brought them from Egypt, they baked cakes of unleavened bread. The dough was without yeast, because they had been driven out of Egypt and did not have time to prepare the food for themselves. 41. At the end of the 433 years, to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt. Amen. At the critical moment of leaving behind the land of captivity after the 430 years, we learned how the Bible captures the Passover event by aspects of a memory, and see how it brings the focus and meaning as we deal with the current situation like COVID-19. 3 points: questions upon memory. Foundation, second, foundation for memory. Third, ways of memory. First, question upon memory. It is crucial to note that in a sense, the writing of the Exodus and other books of the Bible was instigated by one proposed child questions by Moses. What does this ceremony mean to you? A ceremony is a ritualized routine to point at something which gives meaning to the act of a ceremony. The fact that your children ask the question shows they recognize, they know it is very important to you. And by the same token, that it should be or it will be important to them, and they want to know. They demand the answers. The inquiry demands the answers. It is also important that Moses had raised this question to Israelites not after the crisis was over in retrospect, but still in the thick of actions. You know, they haven't even left the Egypt. They even had the 10th plagues yet. It is before everything, final thing happened. They didn't even know when it's going to be the end. For past 4 months, we have been hurriedly responding to varying degree of challenges due to COVID virus. Are you freer in what sense, in certain sense, than before COVID-19? If so, in what areas? If not so, why not? Let us take a deep breath and ask this question. How did it impact my attitude? COVID-19 and all these ramifications impact your attitude toward work and family, your thinking of a Christian identity and the church without the usual flurry of familiar activities on Sundays and other weekdays, and centering around the physical place of the church. And imagine that your children ask these questions. Why do you do what you do when you don't even have the church to go to? And how has it come to you? Is there any critical event for the change to occur that you still cling to this idea of church or Christians when you're not, you know, when you're not allowed even to meet at the physical location of the church? In what ways has it changed you? They want to know why. If your child finds the answer, your answer, meaningful and attractive and makes sense, it is your chance to transfer your spiritual inheritance and the God that who will be with them to them, that sustains them after you leave this life. This question and answer set by Moses highlights how God takes seriously over the issue of memory, because who controls the past memory also controls the present and future. In certain regards, you can say that the Bible is the records of God's memory over human salvation. No wonder first the set of temptation by Satan was control over the woman's memory. Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? When you lose your past memory, you also lose the foundation which defines you. That's why the Alzheimer is so threatening to who we are. So in Christian framework of living, forgiveness is not a merely moral virtue. It is a fight over the memory and the identity. Because when you don't forgive, you have allowed the very player who has inflicted the painful injustice continue to stay in control over your memory and your life and your present and future consequently. The irony is that it appears to be his memory, but in fact it is your version of your memory of him. By forgiving the person who has wronged you, you put out the firework that keeps you from harm. Take your life back and reclaim what's yours, living the life as a gift from God. Second, foundation of a memory. Moses' answer, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes, when he struck down the Egyptians. When many variables and circumstances and the situations are swirling around you, things happening so rapidly, it is very hard to distinguish between the tail and the head, trunk and branches, the urgent and the important. You need a solid foundation upon which you can build your sense of reality and the world, within which you can happily function. If that sounds too grandiose to you, you need to at least have something that hinges your thought and actions together. Have you ever thought about this in aspect? Whether you have it or not, everyone has something or someone of a center that holds everything together, that explains your actions and your reactions, whether emotionally or physically or your relationship-wise. To Moses and Bible, it is the Passover lamb to the Lord that holds everything together for the God's covenant people. Having Jesus as the center of life is not an aesthetic, fanciful mental exercise for a very special, like a spiritual person. It is the only way that holds Christian integrity and capacity as a person and as a community, whether it's your family or church. Because our Master Jesus too had collected his actions together and find a peace by the Passover lamb, by seeing his life through the lens of Passover lamb and Passover. Luke chapter 22, verse 14 and 15 says, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus was fully aware of the suffering of a cross that was about to take place, but was at peace, understanding his life's mission by the Passover. It was possible by his conscious effort of doing it. He bore the death on the cross, fulfilled the sign of a lamb's blood on the Passover door. Jesus instituted the ordinance of communion by offering him to be the foundation of disciples' memory. Do this in remembrance of me, because memory counts, and his memory should be at the smack center of it. Let me ask you this. For past 4 months, what is that one thing that explains your sleepless nights and worrisome concerns? Was it out of your act of remembering Jesus as a Passover lamb, or something else? I'm talking about ultimately. Has Jesus as your Passover lamb produced the hope to persist and resist in spite of all those trials and temptations? We must make it that Jesus Christ, the Passover lamb, as the center, centrality of all our thinking, all our livelihood, all our actions. Have you ever tried, just give it a try, please, to make sense of your life story by the story of a Passover lamb? Please try it. Just write your story through the prism, through the lens, through the story of a Passover lamb, Jesus Christ. See how it enables your life back in track and sense of happiness restored as his covenant people. Why not to organize your messy life, whether relationship-wise, whether your other your work life, balancing or your health-wise, whatever circumstance. Let's just organize it. Let's give it a shot by the centrality of Jesus. And you and I will experience how this Passover lamb give us a whole new appreciation of our life and our story. And it will bring out a whole new set of response from us and outlook even for others. Third, ways of memory, horizontal and vertical. First, horizontal memory of tense time. We teach our children the table manners, not to slurp when you eat soup, not to elbow at the table. This can go on and on and on. Let me introduce then the table manner of a Passover meal. Exodus chapter 12, verse 11, we have just read. This is how you ought to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, basically standing up. Eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. What manner of a table? Eating the meal is this. No one at the Passover meal table understood this instruction. It was not until the midnight meal, in the middle of the meal, when they got the plea from Pharaoh, got the news, up and leave immediately. They were already awake, their belly filled with the food, attire ready to travel. The family and friends and even the kids could immediately march on. God was training the people, actually, in retrospect, to become the battle-ready army. During the past 4 months, have you not experienced something like this providential preparedness in your life situations, in other your circumstances? Unbeknownst to me, God has been ready me to follow Him to the wilderness, toward the promised land, during and before and after COVID, and prepare me for the travel to the wilderness. The condition and component in my life begin to fit in as I deal with a situation like COVID. Though they leave the promised land as freed people, they must have felt more comfortable with the life of slavery in Egypt. Besides, it was not like they often traveled to Canaan and familiar with the wilderness. They were going to travel by the road and traveled. They were overwhelmed by much uncertainties of future and burdened by many pressing concerns and worries and cares. Then they just need to remember how God, in His providential wisdom, readied them at the Passover evening for the march in the morning. In order to overcome the future uncertainty and anxiousness, don't just try look forward and try to guessing work. That's, yes, we may do so, we have to, but that they shouldn't be the foundation of your peace. You just need to look back and remind yourself and check yourself how your present situation in God's providential wisdom in and His workings, and put the pieces together that you are actually at the present moment. You can follow Him toward the wilderness uncertainties. It just ready-made, everything just fit in. How God has led you to the present. How carefully each piece in my life, in timely matters, fit together to bring me at this point and leading me to the full salvation in Christ Jesus. And thankfulness. thankfulness, thanksgiving is the springboard for you to move forward. Vertical memory of time. Chapter 10, verse 41 ends with this caption. At the end of the 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt. The real surprising part is to the very day of 430 years. Somebody had been counting the days until it reached 156,950 days, and it coincided the day of departure from Egypt. When my lifetime and sequence of events meet with the work of God's salvation from heaven, we experience the spark of heaven and earth. Prophet Isaiah catches on this point in 55 and verse 9, saying, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." When we realize that someone in heaven is counting my days of Egypt, in slavery, in torture, in suffering, pain, I don't feel desperate, and I don't need to feel alone, left out. My life on earth is counted, is led by the two clocks, one of heaven and one the other of earth. I can be rest assured that I am with the good hands of heaven's clock. And because I hear Jesus saying, "Repent, kingdom of heaven is near." And he also said, in the book of Revelation, "Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I'm coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. May the mercy of Father God, love of Jesus Christ, communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit upon us, and upon the offerings they give it up, upon their life, upon their family, upon their workplace, upon their church. May the filling of the Holy Spirit seven times throughout the day, throughout the evening, throughout the week, for the rest of their life, forevermore. Amen. Amen.